I bet he has. We can ask him. Derek Gould joins us now. He's brought to you by GFI Digital. GFI provides IT solutions ranging from basic help desk to being your fully outsourced IT department. Let the experts at GFI Digital make technology simple for your business. Just go online, www.gfidigital.com. Derek, thanks for joining us this morning. What's your go-to order at Carl's?
Boy, I'll be honest. I haven't been in a while. I was taken there a while back, I guess, when I first moved here. So I just got the burger. So I was told to get the burger. So I got the burger. It was on a burger tour.
And you didn't know at the time that Iggy got his start in business flipping burgers there.
No, I did not. No.
Well, I would Gould know that. It's not like he knows the Iggy Strode life story.
Well, I'm making my case for him putting up a plaque at Carl's for you with your spatula.
He probably knows him in the Brentwood High School Hall of Fame, but he doesn't know that I flip burgers at Carl's.
I don't think he knew either of those things.
Wait, what was that second part, Iggy?
I said you probably know that I'm in the Brentwood High School Hall of Fame, but you didn't know I flip burgers at Carl's.
I did not know that there was a Brentwood High School Hall of Fame.
Well, you do now. Yeah.
I thought it was all over the news.
No. All these high schools have Hall of Fames. High schools have Hall of Fames?
Yes.
The more important ones do.
St. Louis, they do.
No, that's right. Caesar didn't put it in his column, so nobody would have known unless you...
What high school did you go to, Gouldsy?
Centaurus.
What the hell is that?
Sounds very...
like an animal.
Tell him about that guy that you went to high school with who's doing that one thing up in space.
Yeah, Jack Fisher. He's in space. He's an astronaut right now. He's in space, and I went to high school with him.
Is he in the Hall of Fame at
Centaurus?
Yeah.
I don't know if they have a high school a Hall of Fame at Centaurus. I went back recently, and they still had those boards that were like velvet with little ridges in it, and you push numbers into them, right?
No.
Like a menu, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's really old school. Yeah.
Right, okay, so they still had that up with our swimming records.
Oh, nice.
So my school needs to update a little bit.
And what part of the country was that? Was that Colorado? Is that where you grew up?
Yeah, yeah, I grew up in Colorado.
Denver area.
Yep, yeah, so my high school is, it's now famous for producing an astronaut, and Jack Fisher is up there at the International Space Station. And then the school provided an experiment that went up with him. And so a flag from my school, Centaurus, and an experiment, and then Jack, they're up there in space. And my mom was one of the teachers who really helped kind of push Jack and shape him. She was one of the champions of the folks there at the middle school that I went to and high school who were good at math.
Huh. It's got to be the Centaurus Centaurs, right? That's your name?
It is not.
Ah.
Well, they should have a high school Hall of Fame because I know he would be in there and
they would put the best baseball writer of all time in there too.
They'd get you in there, Derek.
They should start that up.
Yeah. I think I'd go in after Jack.
Probably, but that's okay.
Jack might get the nod before you.
Yeah, Jack probably deserves it.
Well, there's got to be a first class, so the first class would include you and Jack. I know Gary Kornfeld's going into our Brentwood High School Hall of Fame next year.
After you did, of course.
Fredrickson knows this, but Fredrickson can tell you guys who went to a rival high school.
Well, yeah, Derek grew up on the playground scrapping against one John Mozeliak. They were
really?
Busting knuckles out in Colorado. It was like, you were the Jets and he was the Sharks, right? Or was it vice versa?
Yep.
So when they get a little, when things get testy in the media scrum, they flash back to their high school days.
Oh, really?
Mo reaches for his switch and we all just say, calm down!
That's right, yeah. He's all Bear Creek and I'm all Louisville, man.
All right, Derek, Cardinals at Milwaukee. I guess it's a good time to bring up, the fact that the Cardinals are back to 500 at 65-65. This is not good. History does not bode well for teams that are not above 500 at this point in the season. But it's also newsworthy that the Cardinals have the worst winning percentage against NL Central teams out of any team in the division. What do you make of the Cardinals' struggles against the division this year? They've been even more well-known than their struggles to play above 500 baseball. They have a worse winning percentage against the division than that.
Yeah, I would fixate on their winning percentage against the Reds, and think that that's what's dragging it down. You know, they went into Cincinnati and they had that just dud of a series there, and that has forever lingered, sort of like a popcorn kernel in their teeth, for a series that was wasted. You know, the Reds are the dregs of the division. You ought to have a record against them that reflects that. And I think it's really going to be, in the end, what holds this Cardinals back. You know, as far as the standings and records go, I mean, they get a lot of issues on the roster and everything like that. But when you look at why they, when and if, or however it goes, that they don't make the playoffs, or if they don't have a winning record, one reason will be is because they just did not beat teams with worse records. And that includes, you know, splitting against Pittsburgh a while back, which doesn't help your division record. That includes being swept at Cincinnati, which doesn't help your division record. And that includes this past homestand where they lost two series to two teams with losing records, which is no way to build a contender.
Yeah, they've got Luke Weaver going tonight. It'd be fun to watch him pitch anyway. Against the Brewers team that's playing pretty well, they just were the first team, in 11 weeks to win a series from the Dodgers? That's saying something.
Yeah. Yeah, they are playing well, and they play well at home too.
So, what do you expect from Weaver tonight? Did we see the real Luke Weaver's last start out there, or what?
Yeah, I think you saw Luke Weaver. What Luke Weaver is capable of, and I think that was a welcome reminder for, or maybe even revelation for Weaver, as to how he can have success here. I mean, you saw a guy who was confident in his stuff, was aggressive with his stuff, was able to really establish the lower part of the zone, then get to it with his fastball, then get to it with his changeup, then start expanding. And that next time, third time through the lineup, you know, he's elevating the fastball a little bit. He's using the elasticity of the strike zone to get swings and misses. I think it was a very impressive outing. And where it all began was him starting in the zone, low in the zone, and then working out. Whereas in previous starts, we've seen him nibble at the outsides of the zone and then have to work back in and hitters take advantage. So I think he learned a lot about how to utilize his stuff. And if he's got a feel for it, especially if he's got a feel for the changeup and he can do different things with his fastball, he's going to be quite good.
Derek, I want to ask you a structure question about management. I mean, I know that Mike Gersh has been promoted or put in John Mozeliak's role before Mozeliak's been promoted. Is Mo still the final say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no. Bill DeWitt is the final
say.
Yeah,
true. Yeah. How much power does Gersh have?
So this is a good question. When I talked with all three parties, and this is how it was explained to me, was that, you know, they move Gersh to the general manager role. Mo moves into the president of baseball operations. And what Gersh thinks right now is, and this is how the other guys see it too, is that he is making suggestions.
Gotcha.
And that eventually, as this evolves, you know, over 6 months, 9 months, a year, he will be making moves. Right now, he's making suggestions. And it's the type of thing where let's talk about a trade where, you know, he's the one exploring the trade with the team. The teams want these two players, specific players. The Cardinals want one specific player from that other team. He then goes to Mo and says, I think we should make this deal with these guys. And a year from now, what might be different is he and Mo have already talked about the type of deals that they could put together. And when the specifics are done, Gersh doesn't need to go to Mo and say, I think we ought to do this. He can just say, we're doing this.
Gotcha.
Speaking of the deals and deals not made, what do you make of I did the chat. I filled in for you on the chat yesterday, and that's always a
the patience of Job and are forever my hero.
Tap into the Cardinals fan base. And a lot of them are trying to make sense of this. They're so used to seeing the team make moves, you know, try to add a piece or two before the deadline that will help to some degree. This year, the Cardinals have stood pat. They're still saying they want to try to make a run at this. That the standings, while frustrating a lot, still say that they're mathematically in it, yet we haven't seen any sort of reinforcements. How do you interpret what the Cardinals have and have not done as to how they're viewing this season at this point?
Two ways. One is that they've made a lot of waiver claims and had those players pulled back, that they've made claims on relievers moving through waivers, and we have not seen relievers really pass through. If we have, they've been relievers that have, like a larger end or out-year contract or aren't very productive relievers. I know that yesterday was a report of a few relievers that got through, and you might think that, well, those are depth moves, but the guys the Cardinals have targeted and made a play for, they have not gotten through. So that's part of it. We have not seen, just in general throughout baseball, not just with the Cardinals, we have not seen some of the guys who you think, all right, well, that would have been a guy for the Cardinals to play. Maybe like a Clipper got through and was traded, and that's a little bit of a surprise. But maybe my view of what Clipper could do here is a little different than maybe the Cardinals. So Cardinals being picky, Cardinals being unable to land their preferred relievers, and we haven't seen a whole lot of teams land those relievers. Two, the other part of this, it would not shock me at all, and I'm just making an educated guess here, not something that I've heard or something that I've been told, but certainly something that you can read from their actions and is maybe a fair interpretation of what is going on. That's what I'm hoping here. So don't take this as reporting. Take this as supposition, is that they are holding their cards for what they know is going to be a winter of moves. They have a stockpile of outfielders, as I talked about in Sunday's paper. They have some pitching depth. They have a lot of needs this winter that free agency is not going to be provide. And the Cardinals feel that what they have to offer other teams is going to be more appealing in winter than it is right now. An example of that would be one of the outfielders in the major leagues right now, whether it's Piscotty, Grichuk, or Pham. There aren't too many teams who are contending and looking to add this year who don't already have a player like that. However, this winter, there will be more teams, some of whom aren't contending now but have visions of contending next year, who would be interested in a player like that. And so whether then just deal now to deal for what they need in a listing 2017, they might make the move, hold on to their chips, make the move when they can fortify for 2018.
When you look at moves that will be made, it'll be to add a list that's getting pretty alarming, really. I mean, you thought it was okay. They need that. They still could use that bat that kind of lifts everybody in the lineup, and we thought that would be the big offseason target. Well, now they might need a closer because it looks like they don't have somebody who's ready to fill that role right now. And I know there are some minor league guys who might get a shot at that. I know Reyes will be back. When you look at closer, when you look at a bat, when you look at, you know, perhaps a starting pitcher, if Lance Lynn gets
not
away.
Perhaps. They need a starting pitcher.
How do you rank kind of the list of needs at this point, knowing that it could change?
Well, I don't think that bat is going to change from number one. And I think they would be remiss if they didn't have starter at number two. And closer might be even down ballot a little bit. I mean, you know, I would put I might put a reliever of some establishment ahead of closer. But if they could get a closer, that's fine. A closer is just not their style. They haven't gone out to the market to pay for saves before. They've far been more of a team that says they can make a closer than buy a closer. So we'll see. But I don't think the order is going to change much from impact bat and starting pitcher. In fact, I would argue that starting pitcher is probably a necessity, and a impact bat is the vanity that puts them ahead.
If I'm not mistaken, they haven't made a single trade this entire season or a significant
Tyler O'Neill. They traded Marco and brought in
for
Tyler.
Somebody in the major leagues. Yeah. Or a significant waiver wire pickup. Can you remember another season, Derek, where they went a whole year without making a trade for a major league player?
Not really, no. I think I'd have to go back. I wonder about 2007, did they?
I don't remember that far back, but it seems odd to me that a team with so many obvious holes is going to apparently go a whole season without making any kind of move to fix those.
Yeah, games. They would be the only team without a major league move.
Hmm. Yeah.
In baseball.
The idea that this could be an off season of pretty significant overhaul in terms of guys leaving and going, is that kind of what this the rest of this season becomes? Basically trying to secure your spot and prove that you're more valuable on this team than as traded for something else?
That would be a really good way for guys to think about it, but I don't think it would be true.
Because they can
That's
still,
unfortunate.
Because they can, if they, what is it, Doug? If they get hot, they can.
We
can
just get hot. We can win this, baby.
All right. Yeah, that's what, that's the spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, this team that you're going to hear a lot about in September, you're going to hear a lot about 2011, you're going to hear a lot about the 83-win team of 2006, you're going to hear a lot about that stuff from these Cardinals. The important thing is that the front office not get their vision skewed by whatever happens in this month and month and a half ahead. Say they get hot, say Biscotti goes gangbusters and Dexter Fowler's on base all the time and Luke Weaver doesn't lose again and Adam Wainwright comes back and doesn't lose again, and say all those things happen and you have this this perfect coagulation of talent that carries the Cardinals to success in October that the team right now doesn't seem to have in them. Maybe that happens, but don't ignore 1 month of a hot team for 5 months of a rickety roster and bring it back. The roster has to be addressed.
Yeah, there's going to be some I think when people roll their eyes and go, "Oh, we say there's going to be a big off season every year." I think that the answer is okay. So you're not promising. No one's promising that the Cardinals are going to make big moves. Big off season in the sense that if they don't, they're going to be in a worse shape than they are. So
they'll be left
behind.
They're
in between a rock and a hard place. They're either going to have to shake some things up and do some things that make them uncomfortable, or they're going to have to continue down this path that is not the kind of baseball that they sell to their fans. That's why it's a big offseason. You're not promising they're going to go out and sign all these players or trade for all these guys. You're saying that they're going to have to do some things that are uncharacteristic for them, or they're going to keep playing uncharacteristic baseball. There's no other option. You either do or you don't.
Right. And I thought the same thing last year. And I guess I don't know what constitutes a big offseason anymore. I mean, the Cardinals, the move for Brett Cecil hasn't worked out. Cecil hasn't had that good a year. But when they signed him, they were beating the Cubs to him, and they were signing him for a deal worth more than $30 million for a reliever. And they were trying to beat the market to him like they did with Johnny Peralta. A few years back, they're celebrated for doing that with Johnny Peralta because he goes off and hits, the team leading in home runs and offers a solution at shortstop. And then this year, they do the same thing for Cecil, and then they go out and add an extra year to get Fowler to convince him to come here. And in the end, they spent more money on free agents outside their own team than any other team. That's something the Cardinals hadn't done before. They just hadn't. And they spent the second most money on free agents to the Dodgers. And the Dodgers spent all that money bringing Kenley Jansen back and bringing Turner back and, bringing guys back for the team that they have now, which is obviously exceptional. So I guess I find that I get a lot of complaints about how the Cardinals never do anything in the offseason. They never do anything in the winter. And it's just an old saw. What it really means is they didn't do the things I wanted them to do.
Or the guys that they got didn't pan out the way you wanted, you thought they would.
Or, yeah, or hindsight.
And that's true this season. Yeah. The guys that they made bets on, they haven't performed up to their you know, career averages. I mean, Fowler's that's getting right. back now, but he's been hurt a ton. And then Cecil's just been a mess. So they made those moves, but those guys haven't performed. Now, you can say, look, they misevaluated. That's a fair criticism. But to say they didn't do anything, that's not true.
Right. And I mean, they spent a lot of, I kid you not, I got an email after the day they signed Fowler for an $82.5 million deal that went on at length about how the Cardinals were cheap and they never signed a big free agent.
Derek, and I know he's got a pretty nice contract as far as it's probably, I would consider it probably team friendly for his age, but would Tampa Bay be interested in moving Chris Archer?
Oh, man, that would be good. Yeah, they flirted with it. You know, I think if I'm – yeah, I mean, they've flirted with it. They've considered it. He's been a guy that they haven't really been aggressive to move, sort of like Longoria. I'll tell you this. If there was a pitcher this past weekend that Cardinal fans got to see
– yeah.
that the Cardinals will make a play for this winter, it's Colomé.
The closer.
Now, that's a guy that the Cardinals have eyed before. They could see the Rays a lot like them, which we've seen in the past, that the Rays operate somewhat like a Cards team with less of a budget. And they think they can make closers. And Colomé is coming into some money, but he still has some control. And you could see I got to imagine the Cardinals will have a conversation this winter about him. So if you saw a pitcher, if Archer, there were attempts to trade for Archer, I don't know about from the Cardinals, but this past year there were conversations about trading for Archer, and there were some teams that, according to reports, thought they could make the play for him, but the Rays wanted the world, as they should. But, you know, there's just some thought that at some point in time they're going to want to move from that contract, as friendly as it is, but may have to go in a different direction. I will add, though, that the Rays think they got better quicker than they expected, and now if they're going to make a run at that division title, they're going to want Archer to be a part of it. Colomé would be a different category. They think they could make it closer.
Good stuff, Derek. Thanks for the time. I'll encourage people who are wondering, well, how are they going to trade, who are they going to trade, all that stuff. You had a good breakdown of the outfield depth and why the Cardinals will look to trade from that position. It's online at stltoday.com if you missed it in the paper. Derek, thanks so much, man, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, thanks for asking me about the astronaut. I know I could totally name drop.
I knew you were fiending to talk about that, so I figured I'd throw you an assist there.
Oh, man, it's awesome.
All right, man, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you, Goolsy.